The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Iran's key nuclear enrichment facilities have been completely and totally obliterated. Iran, the bully of the Middle East, must now make peace. If they do not, future attacks will be far greater and a lot easier. I want to thank and congratulate Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. We worked as a team like perhaps no team has ever worked before. And we've gone a long way to erasing this horrible threat to Israel. I want to thank the Israeli military for the wonderful job they've done. And I want to just thank everybody, and in particular, God.
Earlier today, President Trump announced on social media that both sides agreed to end the war completely, telling NBC News that it will be, quote, unlimited and go on forever.
A complete and total ceasefire in the works.
He says it has been fully agreed, again, claims by the president, quote, by and between Israel and Iran, there will be a complete and total ceasefire in approximately 6 hours. And then he says we will go on, that will go on for 12 hours, quote, at which point the war will be considered, and the president in his style writes in all caps, ended.
Officially, Iran will start the ceasefire, and upon the 12th hour, Israel will start the ceasefire, and upon the 24th hour, an official end to the 12-day war will be saluted by the world. He seems confident that this is all coming together.
That's right.
Apparently, we have a ceasefire. It may be shaky, but it means the killing on both sides will stop for now.
If in those 24 hours peace is achieved, well, that is the end of the war. But as we know, a lot can happen in 24 hours.
But here's the question. Where do you go from here? As Mark Levin wrote last night, he was upset by this. He said, we didn't give a lifeline to Hitler. That's how bad these guys are. They've lost their air force. They have no ground to air protection. China didn't step in. Russia didn't step in. Not a single Arab country stepped in. The supreme Nazi is hiding in a bunker, much like Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler wasn't thrown a lifeline. He wasn't thrown a lifeline. He was going to be killed, so he committed suicide. So that's what, even though the ceasefire is to be lauded, if they stay in power, are we postponing another conflict? For example, are we going to lift the sanctions? If we lift the sanctions, they're going to get some money. And if they get some money, are they not going to fund Hezbollah, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, the Houthis, again, foment terror sleeper cells here? What did Iran say to make you think that they have anything but hatred for us and Israel? So the president of the United States, obviously very direct. He's disappointed that the ceasefire was breached. And it was, as far as I could tell, the ceasefire was breached by the Iranians. And with the Israel did was within their rights. They had 12 hours before it ended. They got some targets to finish up. So I think the president said in the spirit of ceasefire, he could have leveled off a little. But it doesn't seem like Israel actually violated the ceasefire.
Do you believe that Iran is still committed to the peace?
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it, too.
Are you questioning if Israel is committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because the one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what they're doing. Do you understand that?
Wow. The last 3 days have been, they've made your head spin. There he is, Donald Trump, dropping an F-bomb, one that's heard right around the world. And he's lumping Israel right in with the mullahs. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing. 2 seconds ago, this man and Bibi Netanyahu were best friends. They were working together like as a team like no one before them. And then now look, everything unravels. Everything falls apart. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. So I think on yesterday's show, I talked about America, Donald Trump betraying Israel. That was one of the first Key of David programs my father gave after the inauguration. And then that material was made into an article that was in the March issue of the Trumpet magazine. And after Saturday night, as I said yesterday on the show, I mean, you see again this alliance that seemed strong. But as I said yesterday, we'll just give it 6 months, give it a year, and we'll see what the situation looks like then. As it turns out, just give it 2 days. 2 days, and you see again that Israel is being betrayed. On Saturday night, Donald Trump was Mark Levin. This morning, he's Steve Bannon. I mean, it must be difficult. It must be difficult pleasing both camps inside of MAGA. But I guess that's what he's trying to do. It does make you wonder what was the real motivation behind the attack on those facilities. And this, be assured, this was a war against a facility. J.D. Vance made that plain yesterday in the clip that I played for you. We are battling a factory. And as far as they're concerned, the factories have been taken out. So the war ends. The war stops. Never mind the ideology. Never mind the mindset. Never mind the death cult. You, both sides, have to stop firing shots. And when that didn't happen, you see how the president of the United States responded. Steve Bannon this morning says he used to work for him. He says, I've never seen him this angry. And in the same commentary, he says, you cannot trust Prime Minister Netanyahu. You can't trust Bibi. That's Steve Bannon. And that's basically where Donald Trump is at the moment. You can't trust him. I mean, as soon as everybody knows a ceasefire is just a temporary halting of firing shots. And if you've got 12 hours, everybody also knows that the parties involved are going to unload on the opposite party or unload on the enemy. And that's what happened. And Donald Trump is furious. He's furious. It was just a week or two ago when he said before the missile strike on those factories, he said, no, I think Israel can continue fighting because it's winning. I mean, that's the objective here, right? Winning? So far as we know, I mean, the objective last week was unconditional surrender. And we played it for you yesterday on the show. I'll play a bit of it again here in a moment. But within this montage, notice also what he himself, that is Donald Trump, says about ceasefires. This is clip 6.
President Trump has called for Iran's unconditional surrender amid this growing conflict with Israel.
He posted on Truth Social saying, we know exactly where the so-called supreme leader is hiding. Our patience is wearing thin. He ended his statement with unconditional surrender in capital letters.
Specifically, it's better than a ceasefire. What are you looking for here?
And then a real end, not a ceasefire. And then,
so something that will be permanent, or
giving up entirely.
Is that okay too?
A ceasefire means like everything's going swimmingly. We'll take a little time off. It's not. We're not looking for a ceasefire. We're looking for a total, complete victory.
Total, complete victory. We're not looking for a ceasefire. I think all those statements were last week. And now he practically demands yesterday a ceasefire. He says, I've got both parties agreeing to a ceasefire. And that lasted for like 2 seconds. And then he blows up in front of the world. The whole world is seeing this, by the way. The whole world is watching. And you got to believe the mullahs are loving. They're loving what he's saying about his best friend. Saturday night, he said, we work together as a team, like perhaps no other in history. And now look at the relationship. Here's a bit more from what the president said this morning. Clip 11, excuse me.
I'm not happy that Israel's going out now. There was one rocket that I guess was fired overboard. It was after the time limit and it missed its target. And now Israel's going out. These guys got to calm down. Ridiculous. I didn't like plenty of things I saw yesterday. I didn't like the fact that Israel unloaded right after we made the deal. They didn't have to unload. And I didn't like the fact that the retaliation was very strong. But in all fairness, Israel unloaded a lot. And now I hear Israel just went out because they felt it was violated by one rocket that didn't land anywhere. That's not what we want, I'll tell you. And I'm telling you, I'm not happy about that, Israel, either. All I do is play both sides. So we have to have Israel calm down because they went on a mission this morning. I got to get Israel to calm down now. I think they both violated it. I'm not sure they did it intentionally. They couldn't rein people back. I don't like the fact that Israel went out this morning at all. And I'm going to see if I can stop it.
And he did try to stop it, but it didn't work. Israel is not going to attack Iran, he said on Truth Social. All planes will turn around and head home while doing a friendly plane wave to Iran. Nobody will be hurt. The ceasefire is in effect. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Later on, he says, Israel, do not drop those bombs. If you do, it is a major violation. Bring your pilots home now. These are all capitals. Bring your pilots home. And Bibi basically said, we got to do it. Listen, they broke the ceasefire. As soon as it was starting, Iran fires a missile. And you heard President Trump explain it all right there. He just dismisses the rocket that the mullahs fired. And tells Israel to calm down. This is the way it always works when Israel comes under fire. This is the way it always works. When you attack Israel, then Western leaders and the regime media or the Western press outlets, they attack Israel too. For retaliating. For going on a counteroffensive. You can't do it. Those are the rules of war. Listen, we took out the facilities. We blew up the factories. The war is over. The war is against an underground factory. That's what it amounts to in the minds of J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. Bibi Netanyahu knows better. He knows it's a war against a radical ideology. He knows it's a war against the mullahs. A war against radical Islam. Listen to what, again, coming back to a war against a factory. This is also President Trump from this morning, clip 12.
I think it's been completely demolished. I think the reason we're here is because those pilots, those B-2 pilots did an unbelievable job. Those pilots hit their targets. Those targets were obliterated, and the pilots should be given credit. They're not after the pilots. They're after me. They want to try and demean. Iran will never rebuild its nuclear. From there, absolutely not. That place is under rock. That place is demolished. The B-2 pilots did their job. They did it better than anybody could even imagine. They hit late in the evening. It was dark with no moon, and they hit that target with every one of those things, and that place is gone. If you take a look at the pinpricks, and you see, that place is gone.
So the factories are gone, and now we're back to where we were. Well, really, it never stopped. We're back to negotiations. And let's start with a ceasefire. Both sides need to stop firing. And then we'll send in Steve Witkoff and reach a deal. This is a president who really and truly believes that a victory in his mind, besides blowing up a factory, a victory is a negotiation between two parties. Maybe. And you see the love for Qatar coming from Europe and this administration. As they're there brokering a deal between these two sides. It's really pretty stunning to see how this has played out in the last 2-3 days. The factories have been obliterated. So let's move on. Nothing about the ideology, nothing about the mindset. I mean, what we're seeing really is a clash of three different mindsets. On the one hand, you've got the death cult, and they want to destroy Israel and the United States. They've been at war, as I said yesterday, they've been at war with America for 46 years. That's a radical mindset, a death cult. And then you've got Bibi, for his part. He will never accept an Iranian regime that wants to destroy Israel. He just won't allow it to happen. Operation Rising Lion. You know, I saw a story over the weekend suggesting that Donald Trump lashed out at the factories because he wasn't about to play second fiddle to Benjamin Netanyahu. I think that's probably a pretty good take. He lashes out Saturday night. He says it was a smashing success, no pun intended. And the war is over. It's done. And now we throw Hitler the lifeline, as Mark Levin said. Now we let, it's just, it's an exact replay of the way they dealt with Hamas right around the inauguration. Okay, everything's done. We got the ceasefire. War is over. Hamas survives. And here again, the mullahs survive. I don't even know if I'll have time to get to all the stories about the enrichment program that will continue. I think it was the Levin quote where he said, as soon as sanctions are lifted, you know, if the war's over and everything's done, then it makes sense for Donald Trump's administration to lift sanctions off Iran. They did it this morning. Imagine that. And so when the money comes flowing back in, how is Iran going to use the money? Well, look at that history, those 46 years. Play that clip from, who is it, Keene? He was on Fox Business, I believe it was. It's later in my notes, if you can search for that.
But the real issue is here, and let me point it out to you again, is they're going to attempt to recover and rebuild their nuclear program. And when Israel has evidence of that, they should be able to counter that.
Yeah.
We can't get back to where we were. 2 weeks out from having 9 or 10 nuclear
that's
weapons.
Right.
That's an absurdity. And there's been enormous sacrifice here made on a part of the Israeli people and also the innocent Iranian people who are not involved in this regime, but they got caught up in what happens in war. Civilians always suffer some consequences in war. So the sacrifices have been made here, and we've got to be determined that we're not going to squander those sacrifices by not being vigilant and staying on top of this regime. This regime is not going to change.
This regime is not going to change its mindset. And then, as I say, Bibi's not going to change his. He knows they want another Holocaust. And he's committed to making sure that doesn't happen. But then, I mentioned three mindsets. Then you have the mindset of the Trump administration, which really and truly believes that any conflict, any problem can be solved with dialogue. Anything can be solved with negotiation. Anything can be solved with a deal. President Trump said that honesty and integrity are the basis for peace. I mean, just think about that for a moment. Honesty and integrity. Now, you can't trust Bibi Netanyahu, says Steve Bannon. But can you trust the mullahs? Because that's kind of implied that, we can trust them. We're, as President Trump said, I see myself working both sides. I can do this. I can work with Bibi. I can work with the mullahs. Well, now, after the F-bomb heard right around the world, you wonder if he thinks he can even work with Bibi. This is from Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. President Trump reaffirmed that he does not want to see regime change in Iran and that things can be settled without conflict if all parties engage with honesty and integrity. Nothing about repentance. How do you work with all parties if, at least in the case of the mullahs, they don't change their attitude? They don't change their mindset, their charter, their vow to destroy Israel and the United States. Honesty and integrity? Well, even leaving repentance out of it for a moment. Is that what's coming from Tehran? Honesty and integrity? They're trying to blow up Jews. They've had some success. They killed 1,200 on October 7. Is that honest? Is that integrity? Repentance. Just as you know, if you've followed this work for very long. I mean, repentance is at the core of the true gospel message that Jesus proclaimed. It's about the first thing John the Baptist said in the lead up to Christ's ministry, and it's the first thing that Jesus Christ said when the ministry started. Repent! We need a lot of repentance in this world today. We need our hearts to be softened. This is not the end of the war between Iran and Israel or otherwise. This is just the beginning. You really see a lot of prophecies lining up. And if you don't know Bible prophecy, then what else would we be living in other than a hopeless world where you place your faith in men or a political movement or a bomb that's dropping, a bunker buster? What about the ideology? Sundance says, President Trump didn't want to escalate with Iran. Netanyahu forced President Trump into a supportive box with attacks against Iran. President Trump, and I think he's right about this, because again, if you go back a month or two, there was the constant drumbeat was not for war, but it was for negotiation. And then Bibi, he breaks the door open and says, we're going in. We're going into Tehran. We're going to start bombing. We're going to go after these nuclear facilities. And Trump was not going to be one-upped by his Israeli counterpart. President Trump responded with a public hug to Bibi and eventually a U.S. bombing of the Iran nuclear sites. Israel was big happy. However, Trump's emissary, Steve Witkoff, never stopped communicating with Iran on peace approach and negotiated, coordinated a face-saving Iranian retaliation via a happy to oblige Qatar. Yeah, they fired the retaliation shots. I think there were 6 missiles at the U.S. base in Qatar, of all places. And what Sundance is suggesting is that all of that was just orchestrated for Iran to save face. Because America attacked Iran Saturday night. So we've got to fire missiles at Qatar. They were all taken out of the sky. No problem. And Qatar as the great negotiator, right? They're the middleman. Well, they gave President Trump Air Force One. Qatar is happy to have those missiles incoming, knowing that American forces would take them out. And then we can move on to ceasefire stage. And sanctions can be lifted, and Iran can have the cash it needs to resume building its nuclear weapons program. It's pretty amazing. It says here, Iran retaliated against the U.S. support for Israel with a pre-planned attack on the U.S. base in Qatar, which was easily managed. Iran saves face against the evil Trump. Meanwhile, loyal friend to Israel, Trump has facilitated the request of Bibi. Diplomacy now returns, sans operational nuclear sites. No regime change. Prime Minister Netanyahu and Israeli lobbyist Mark Levin are furious. And you heard it in the cold open. And it's not to say that Mark Levin's right about everything, but he certainly understands the danger, the existential danger in that particular region. And if they get the weapons that they're aiming for, they're going to be able to fire missiles much farther than into Israel. We're talking about Europe and ultimately the United States. Throw Hitler a lifeline. Let Hamas survive. I'll get to the U.S. betrays Israel article in just a second. I went through it again this morning, and it's like it applies perfectly to what we're seeing now. And as I say, my father, he was talking about this within days of Donald Trump being inaugurated. Sundance talks about this so-called strike against the U.S. base. He says the time of day just after 8 p.m. local reflects an attack, quote unquote, intended to be intercepted, reviewed, and assessed. The target, U.S. base in Qatar, an intermediary and friendly geopolitical ally to Iran. Qatar, get that? It's an ally to Iran. It says it reflects coordination to give optics of retaliation in name only. No doubt Iran coordinated this retaliatory strike with Qatar. It was all staged. Well, we've got to do something. They attacked us. Well, here, we'll set something up in Qatar where the U.S. base is, and then you can say you lashed out at the U.S., the great Satan. And then Donald Trump can swoop in with the help of his friends in Qatar and say, hey, now let's have peace. That's what he said Saturday night in that short speech. The factories have been obliterated, and now we have peace. The war against the factories. It's over. It's over because of a 37-hour mission of a few B-2 bombers. We bombed the problem away, and it's gone, and it's not coming back. Lift the sanctions. Peace in our time. This is like right out of Obama's playbook. I mentioned yesterday that the Obama doctrine's essentially been destroyed. I'm not so sure about that. Not in this sense. It says, in summary, a response from Iran intended for domestic consumption to give save regional face for the Persians. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard, in an official statement, it says this, in response to the attack on Iran's nuclear facilities, we carried out a powerful and devastating missile strike against a strategic asset, the largest American airbase in the Middle East. Any repetition of U.S. aggression will accelerate the collapse of the American military establishment in the region. All of it carefully staged, just like a Hollywood movie. But the important thing is, the mullahs survive, at least for now, unless there's some kind of, uprising within the country. But the mullahs survive, and we get back to that mindset that dialogue solves everything. Dialogue will fix it. Sundance says, Qatar condemns the puff and bluster ballistic missile attack by Iran on the U.S. base, adding that all the missiles were intercepted and that there are no reported injuries so far. If Iran does it again, they will be met with a more strongly worded letter. In return, Iran's top security body tells Qatar, this action does not pose any threat to our friendly and brotherly neighbor, Qatar. Our friendly and brotherly neighbor. Yeah, Qatar and Iran, they're friends. And, the more you listen to the Trump administration, I mean, they certainly see Qatar as friends. I think they want friends in Tehran as well. Dealing with the devil, as my father talked about in that very first Key of David following the inauguration, he was quoting from Melanie Phillips. That's what this amounts to. A deal with the devil. Listen to Fox News as they talk about Donald Trump basically being, fed up with Israel. Clip three.
Well, I think what you're saying from this president is he likes being in the middle with conflicts. He likes to be the negotiator there. I think when it came down to the Iran situation, he was very clear they couldn't have a nuclear weapon. But I think his point is, when I said ceasefire, don't wait up all the way into the moment till the clock runs out. He didn't like seeing that as well. He's clearly frustrated this morning. He doesn't like the coverage. He feels like that they're not celebrating our great military mm-hmm. and the successful mission that they had.
He doesn't like the coverage. He doesn't think Israel's celebrating the great military success of the mighty United States. What? Israel lives in that neighborhood. October 7 is fresh on their minds. And they know, Bibi certainly knows, the source of those massacres. He knows about the source, the ideology behind their 9/11. 9/11 many times over. It's just a tiny little strip. About as big as New Jersey. 9 million people. You can see why when the missiles get through, when the Iron Dome can't shoot them out of the sky, there's going to be casualties if they land in Tel Aviv or Beersheba, as they have been. Listen again to Fox News clip 5.
I think one of the complicated things is that this is a president that continues to say he wants to be the president of peace. And Brian, we talked about this on your radio show. It's hard to get peace with a group of people that have such a radical ideology, mm-hmm. that hate your very existence.
Just one side.
There. I mean, yeah. it's just the truth. They don't want Israel to exist. They don't want us to exist. They hate the West. But, and it's kind of hard to negotiate with people that believe that you're an infidel.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see Fox, basically. I mean, they're not directly stating they oppose the president's position here. But they can't help but to sympathize with Israel, as they should. How do you negotiate peace with someone that wants to kill you? How do you sit down and have dialogue with someone that wants to kill you? With someone that won't accept that you have a state in their neighborhood that want to wipe you off the map? It's complicated because, as the president has said, he wants to be a peacemaker. My father drew attention to that in that betrayal article. He says he wants peace, and that's a noble goal. But how do you go about obtaining it? By just bombing a factory? And then that's it. The dust settles and the war is over. Peace in our time. Listen to this. This is from the Heritage Foundation's vice president, clip 19.
And Israel's angry, but the president's absolutely correct. We can get back to the ceasefire. And I took note of that truth post he did, because there are a lot of critics who say President Trump's foreign policy is dictated from Jerusalem, that it's Israel's foreign policy. It isn't. It's America's foreign policy. And he knows bringing this war to an end is in America's interest.
Bringing this war to an end is in America's interest. So end it. No matter the cost, you've got to end the war. Well, but is there anything better than a ceasefire? He said himself last week, yes, surrender, give up. That's what we're aiming here. A ceasefire, I'm just paraphrasing the president from a week ago. A ceasefire suggests that everything's going swimmingly and we're just going to temporarily halt things. We want more than that. What do you want? Unconditional surrender. Do we have it? Did the mullahs unconditionally surrender? Israel is alone. Israel's alone. And you heard it here first. They've been betrayed. God's message, God's prophecies, they're always right. They're always right. And even when they don't look like it, just wait it out for a bit. In this case, it was 2 days. It makes me think of this from, it's not recent. It's back when President Trump had that trip to the Middle East, and he snubbed Israel. Remember that? And he reached out to Qatar, and Qatar gave him a jumbo jet as Air Force One. This was how it was reported in France, France 24, clip 20.
And so I think what we might be seeing is a shift in the U.S. foreign policy, whereby the U.S. is not walking away from Israel, but conducting a foreign policy that's a little more oriented toward U.S. relationships with the Gulf Arab monarchies and less oriented around Israel.
That's really leaving Israel more isolated than ever, isn't it? Would you go as far as to say that there appears to be a rift between Trump and Netanyahu, as some media commentators have suggested?
I think that seems fair to say. I think that Trump wants to make it very clear that he is in the driver's seat when it comes to U.S. foreign policy. In various ways, he has indicated that the fact that he recognizes that there is a distinction to make between U.S. national interests and Israel's national interests.
Now, that's from a number of weeks ago. But then now you fast forward to this past weekend, Saturday night, and President Trump made it very clear that he's in the driver's seat. And then he tells Iran and he tells Bibi, now you guys stop firing. The war's over. The war against the factory is finished. We took it out. It's been obliterated. And then he got very angry when people didn't follow his words. When he says it, you've got to stop it because, well, the dialogue reigns supreme. And then he has that profane outburst this morning, which is becoming more and more common, by the way. Distinguished leaders, politicians, saying the F word or saying a lot of other curse words. What does it say about our honest society or our society of integrity? It's a tiny thing comparatively to some of these other things. But our society really has descended into an immoral cesspool in every respect. And we've got these mindsets that will not change or repent. In Iran, I'm going to kill Jews. And then Bibi, for his part, he knows the mindset. And so his mindset is just as firm. I'm not going to accept the legitimacy of this administration, this radical Islamist administration in Tehran. And then you've got the Trump administration talking about dialogue solving everything. Dialogue bringing those two mindsets together. This was on Truth Social this morning. China can now continue to purchase oil from Iran. Hopefully they will be purchasing plenty from the U.S. also. It was my great honor to make this happen. It was his great honor to make it possible for Iran to resume selling oil to China. 2 months ago, this was in April, posted at the White House, direct from the president himself. He said, the Iranian regime continues to engage in destabilizing activities in the Middle East and beyond. Today, the United States is taking action under President Trump's maximum pressure campaign on Iran to stem the flow of revenue that the regime uses to support its malign activities abroad and oppress its own people. The Department of State is imposing sanctions on four entities engaged in Iranian petroleum trade and is identifying two vessels as blocked property. Today's action includes the designation of a second China-based crude oil and petroleum products storage terminal that has a demonstrated pattern of violating U.S. sanctions on Iran. It's a maximum pressure campaign on Iran because of all of their destabilizing efforts to cause mayhem around the world, certainly in the Middle East. And this morning, Donald Trump says it's his great honor to be able to lift these sanctions. It's his great honor for the cash to start flowing into Tehran yet again. You have to think that all of this was part of the ongoing negotiations with the help of not just Steve Witkoff, but Qatar as well. Look, the factories were blown up. We've got to retaliate. Well, go ahead and fire away at the U.S. base in Qatar. And then we'll be able to survive, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, will you lift the sanctions? Sure. Sure. It's our great honor. They are making peace. This is how they're making peace. Throw them a lifeline. Mark Dubovitz said, Chinese purchases of Iranian oil violate U.S. sanctions passed by Congress on a bipartisan basis, as well as executive orders and state and treasury designations issued by President Trump. All that's out the window. Look, the war is over. It is so over. Didn't you see what happened Saturday night? So now you can begin to make deals. Everybody's going to make money and everybody's going to be happy. And there's going to be peace. Peace in our time. I mean, this is very Chamberlain-esque. Times of Israel. Trump told Netanyahu in exceptionally firm terms not to retaliate against Iran's missile fire. Don't do it. I gave you the posts or the tweets a little bit earlier. This one from Times of Israel as well. Tehran will restore its nuclear program, the Iranian atomic chief vows. It says Iran is assessing the damage to its nuclear industry following Israel's intensive 12-day campaign against it, and arrangements have been made for its restoration, says their nuclear guy. The plan is to prevent interruptions in the process of production and services, he said, according to Iran's state-owned Mir News, claiming that Tehran has been prepared for damage to its nuclear sites. We were ready for this. I mean, yesterday I showed you the Telegraph picture. All these trucks lined up at Fort O. What were they doing? Who knows? How much of Iran's nuclear facilities have been destroyed? No one really knows. President Trump says it's all obliterated. The war's over. Everything's ended. Is that really the case? We had quite a bit of information in the latest trumpet brief that went out this morning talking about those sites, the extent of the damage, what Iran was able to protect or preserve. And then their chief guy comes out and says, we're going to rebuild. And we're going to continue the program. Not an ounce of repentance. Not even honesty or integrity. Well, I guess they're honest. They are honest when they say we want to kill Jews. How about that? They're honest when they say we want to resume our nuclear weapons program. But they're not exactly leaders of integrity. And certainly there's not one ounce of remorse or repentance. But that's okay, right? Because the factories have been obliterated. We blew them up. This is America first. Look, I've eliminated the factory. Now I want all sides to stop shooting. This is delusional, really. And as I say, it's like an exact replay of the negotiating approach taken with Hamas. This is what my father said back at that Key of David program on January 31st, clip 8.
I want to just show you today that President Trump betrayed Israel. Now, that's a strong statement, but there's all kinds of proof to show you that happened. Why would that happen, and how would that happen? President Trump does not really have a strong military leader to advise him. He does have one he decided not to use, let's say, in his cabinet and his upper administration. That is General Michael Flynn. And he may be the greatest general that America has. And yet, President Trump is not using him, at least at the peak of his power in the cabinet and so on. But here, if you look at this and just say, well, what is it that President Trump really needs? Well, he needs somebody to help him understand what is happening in the Middle East. And he has to see in time what a catastrophe he has caused in the Jewish state in the Middle East, our only real ally.
They're our only real ally. But now the Trump people would disagree with that statement. No, we've got Qatar, we've got UAE, and I mean, I'm just basically the middleman here working with both sides. We'll work with Iran. It was his great honor to lift the sanctions against Iran this morning. The 37-hour bombing campaign, well, that was the flight time anyway. The bombing campaign probably went for just a few minutes. And then the planes returned home. And Donald Trump says, mission accomplished, war's over. There's got to be an immediate ceasefire. And he blows up. As soon as that ceasefire is violated by Iran. But the missile, you see, it was kind of, it went off course. It didn't really strike anything and nobody died. So why would Israel retaliate to that? That's the kind of mindset that ends in your nation being destroyed. This is from that article, President Trump Betrayed Israel. And it quotes President Trump here in the first part of this this bit. He says, I'm pleased to say that as of yesterday, this is, again, around the inauguration, one day before he assumed office, it says, the hostages in the Middle East are coming back home to their families. Yes, Hamas released three hostages and more are coming, but he said nothing about the terrifying price paid for those hostages, my father wrote. There was a story just the other day where Israel went in on one of its Gaza campaigns and recovered the dead bodies of three more hostages. They're still there. Dozens are still there. Hamas knew that that was their ticket to survival. You've got to kill 1,200 Jews and make sure you take 200 or so hostage so that you can survive. And then, I mean, you've got a bit of leverage when you go to the negotiating table in Qatar with Steve Witkoff. You can say, well, okay, we'll hand over a few hostages, but then you've got to stop firing. You've got to stop with this counteroffensive. You've got to stop trying to wipe out Hamas. This is how you negotiate, right? I think Hamas and the mullahs know a few things about negotiation, for sure. It says here, Prime Minister Netanyahu, Israel had already virtually destroyed Hezbollah in Lebanon and had dealt deadly blows to Hamas in Gaza, but then word of the Israel-Hamas deal reached the Gazan streets, and thousands of gun-toting Arabs emerged from their underground tunnels, celebrating and shouting that they had won the war. And if they stop, here again, you take this and just apply it to today. This was in the March issue of the Trumpet magazine. It's the same exact scenario. History, recent history, playing out again. They will celebrate. The moment Israel stops its campaign to obliterate the nuclear program. And again, I told you yesterday about our love for limited warfare. And even Israel, if we're honest, is engaged in limited warfare. Now, they're a lot more aggressive and lion-like than the United States. But still, so careful to avoid any kind of collateral damage. It's as if the war is against the factory or the machine. The war against a tactic, terrorism, as we heard so much of coming out of 9/11. Israel had made tremendous progress eliminating the threat from Hamas, but with this deal, about everything Israel achieved in its war was quickly reversed. This is what Iran is aiming to do. To reverse all of this as quickly as possible, a 12-day conflict, and the president of the United States announcing now that the war has ended. It's over. We obliterated the factories, and so we can move forward. On January 7, Mr. Trump warned in a press conference that there would be terrible consequences if Hamas didn't release the hostages before his inauguration. He badly wanted to show that his words have impact, and he wanted a ceasefire in place to end the war before he took office. That's quite a statement. As I say, it applies to today. He badly wants to show that his words have impact, and when they didn't, well, he drops an F-bomb right out there in front of the cameras. And he says it not just with respect to the leadership in Iran, but also it was aimed straight at Bibi Netanyahu. It says here, we must judge by fruits. Mr. Trump had strong words, but what are his deeds in this greatest possible crisis in the Middle East? Where is that fight, fight, fight spirit? He said it last year, almost a year ago now, when he was shot in the ear and he got up and his face was bleeding and he said, fight, fight, fight. That's not the way his diplomatic chiefs operate today. Certainly not. The negotiators are not out there saying fight, fight, fight. They're out there saying talk, talk, talk. Meet, meet, meet. Negotiate, negotiate, negotiate. That is what they see as a great victory. Go back and read this article if you have time. It's at thetrumpet.com. It's in the March issue from just a few months ago. And of course, you can call our operators today and request a free subscription at no cost or obligation. Just call 1-866-930-3024. I want to leave some time for feedback from Birmingham, England, in the Midlands. They had their show Sunday night, as I mentioned yesterday, Celtic Throne 2. And we got wonderful feedback yet again. And just so that you know as well, in case you're listening or viewing this over in the UK, tonight the show will be in Manchester, England, just a couple hours drive north of where we are situated at Edstone. So if you're in the area, make sure that you join. I forget where the auditorium is or what the auditorium is, but you can go to CelticThrone.com and get all the information that you need for that. So we'll finish off today with the feedback from Birmingham. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
We are deeply impressed. We came all the way from the Netherlands, and it was all the way, all the time, the drive, the worth, the time to come here.
It's tremendous, far better than, I think I saw a Michael Flatley show. This is far, far better, you know, tremendous.
Absolutely love it. We're Riverdance fans, but this is absolutely wonderful. We were just saying how much we've enjoyed seeing the children involved and how wonderful they were. And you can see the cast. They're enjoying it. They're smiling. They're having a good time. We're having a good time.
I think it's the absolute bomb.
Dance with Jude and Vienna are always there, both of them. No, it's brilliant. Everyone's great. No, they're all absolutely brilliant. Brilliant first half, can't wait to see the next half. So
amazing.
Marvellous. Absolutely marvellous. And I've been to see Riverdance about 5 times, and this is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I love it.
Yeah, we love it. Yeah, so glad we came.
I'm in a dream in there. I just can't believe what's going on. It's just wonderful. You should be very proud of yourself. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic. Just great to see the talent and especially the families, the young kids. I think that really makes it extra special.
Really impressed. And the musicians are brilliant, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. Very, very good. And the leg speed. Wow. It's like watching the road run.
Brilliant.
Absolutely fantastic. I don't know even how they do it. I tell you, they're really fantastic. They are. Yeah.
What do you think of the show?
Oh, it's wonderful, yeah. They don't even get out of breath, do they? I mean, they can do all that and then do all the twizzles and backflips and it's amazing. I just don't know how they did it. Wonderful. I could watch it again. I could go and watch it again.
It was amazing. It was so good. They're all so talented and they look like they're having the best time. It was amazing. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was incredible. I loved every second of it. It's just wonderful.
And the show, what did you
It was absolutely brilliant.
I'm stuck for words. It was absolutely brilliant. So entertaining. All the cast are smiling constantly. We were on the stage with them. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Congratulations. And I hope you go far. I hope you do as well.
Absolutely loved it. It was fantastic. Great. Please come to this. It's fantastic. Everything about it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Absolutely sensational. Absolutely sensational. I'll go and watch it every day of the week. Every day of the week. Come watch it. Come watch it.
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. The talent was incredible and the arms and the lines. It was so amazing to see.
Blown away. Brilliant. I was just on the edge of my seat the whole time. Definitely going to spread the word.
Was on again tomorrow. I'll be back. It's absolutely fantastic. Your precision, the organising, I just couldn't get over it. I thought it was quite emotional. The wonder of it, I did. Wonderful.
Absolutely fantastic show. Unbelievable. I don't know, I'm still high on it.
Oh, yeah, I saw Jude and Vienna and that. So I'm just so proud to see them on the stage doing that. Just
what they've achieved is just incredible. It just shows what hard work and dedication can do. They deserved every bit of that. Truly, truly incredible.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely phenomenal. And I really, really did enjoy it. Made my heart happy. It was really lovely. Very worth going. Great night.